This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
اليوم 11 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق ل 25 من شهر نوفمبر 2023. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فيها فيما نتعلمه، وأن يرفع لنا الصلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So, today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last class. We are still dealing with the Kitab al-Jihad. Inshallah, we are about to be done with it. That's a topic, inshallah. So, hadith for today is the hadith of Abi Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu anhu. Is it the hadith of Abi Ubaidah? قبله عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى لا أخذنا هذا أخذنا أصبنا طعاما يوم خيبر فكان الرجل يجيء فيأخذ أعتقد حديث الوالف ابن ثابت يعني. قال وعن روايفع بن ثابت قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يركب دابة في بيع المسلمين حتى إذا أعجفها ردها فيه ولا يلبس ثوبا في في المسلمين إذا أخلقه رده فيه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يركب دابة في المسلمين. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, فلا يركب دابة في فيء المسلمين. You can see in many places the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم connect his command with, yeah, so that he will remind the Muslims about the accountability on the Day of Judgment. It's not about you taking, not taking freedom or not having the freedom. It's about you being able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good way. So that's why he will remind the audience, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, you shouldn't do this, or you should do this. مَنْ كَانَ إِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ أيما امرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا تسافر إلا ومعها ذو محرم. And many, many, many places where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم attached the command to this. So the hikmah is very, very clear, right? The hikmah is very clear. So that you will remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala monitors that which is happening in terms of how did you react to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يَكَبْ دَابَّةً إِنْ فَيْءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. You know, because when they fight and they get all the properties of the enemies, it's not easy to monitor everything. So there might be some people who have da'af in nafs, who might be taken from the ghanima without the permission of the imam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned people from this, right? You remember the hadith of that person who was shot, you know, he died instantly. And they said, Hani Allahu bil Jannah. You know, they congratulate him for getting Jannah free of charge. Because he was just sitting next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the thing came to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kalla, inna shamlata allati ghallaha latashta'ilu alayhi fi qabrihi nara. The piece of cloth that he has taken is now in the, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn it into fire for him inside his So in this hadith, the Prophet said, if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, you shouldn't take an animal, dabba, horse, you know, camel, from the fay'il muslimin. You remember fay', right? What is fay'? The one you get without. No revision, right? Thanks to the one who answer. Should I say no thanks to the one who So al-fay is different from ghanima. They're both the same in the sense of the property being taken from the enemies. But ghanima is something that you get after fighting. You struggle to fight. You fight, you lost, they lose. You know, like that. At the end of the day, whatever you got, we call it ghanima. Al-fay. Something from them without fighting, without making any effort other than you being in that place. We call it fight. Again, we call it fight. There is a difference in the way it should be treated. You know, because the ghanima we divided by four, right? The ghanima we divided by five, and we take one and put that one in there. فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَلِلْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. But for the faith, the whole thing is supposed to be divided and given to those who are in need more than the combatants. The combatants will not be given except if the Imam wants to share with them from the faith al-Muslimin. Or they are amongst the categories that deserve to be taken. Right? Yeah. Allah says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَةِ. One of the features of the Islamic economics system is this, to bridge the gap between the poor and the rich, right? That's a huge gap between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to close it so that the wealth will not be circulated only amongst the rich. It's not good actually for the economy to have the wealth be restricted to a few. So he says, فَلَا يَرْكَبْ دَابَّةً. He shouldn't ride, take a camel, or horse and ride it, you know, or donkey or whatever, and ride it. Hatta ida arjafaha, until the time he exhausts this animal, it becomes somehow useless. Then he returns back. Prophet said, this is wrong. If anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, and the hereafter, he shouldn't do this. Wala yalbas sawb. And he shouldn't also take a cloth and wear it. وَلَا يَلْبَسْ ثَوْبًا. He shouldn't wear the cloth from the fa'il muslimin. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخْلَقَهُ. Until the time he made it old. You know, keep on using it. And then later on he returned it back to the fa'il muslimin. قَالَ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهُ جُوَاتُ الْقُبِ وَلُبْسُ الثَّوْبِ. وإنما يتوجه النهي إلى الإيجاب والإخلاق للثوب ولو ركب من غير إيجاف ولا بيس من غير إخلاق وإتلاف جاز. So we learn from this that if a person just take it and use it for a while and then return it, that will be okay. The point is to keep using it until it gets exhausted and then bring it back. And it goes to who? Yeah, whoever that cloth or the dabba happens to be his portion, then he just have to accept something that is deficient. قال وعن أبي عبيدة ابن الجراح قال, what is his name? Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. These are the 10 companions that are known to kids. Amir ibn al-Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يجير على المسلمين بعضهم. يجير على المسلمين بعضهم. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, يجير على المسلمين بعضهم. There is another narration with Tayalisi, min hadith Amr ibn al-As. Sorry. which says يجير على المسلمين أدناهم. In الصحيحين عن علي بن أبي طالب صحيحين بخاري and Muslim from علي بن أبي طالب قال دية المسلمين واحدة ذمة المسلمين واحدة يسعى بذمتهم أدناهم وهم يد على من سواهم زاد ابن ماجة من وجه آخر ويجير عليهم أقصاهم. And the last hadith within this context is the hadith of Ummu Hani, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ أَجَّرْنَا مَنْ أَجَّرْتِ يَا أُمَّ هَانِ. So in all of these hadith, يجير على المسلمين أدناهم أقصاهم, you know, بعضهم, you know, they all carry the same meaning. Al-Jiwar, in the past, the Arabs, they have this. If somebody, Jiwar is to be the neighbor of somebody, neighborhood. Yeah. So when somebody comes to you, you announce to the people, even if this person happens to be the enemy of the community, you just announce to the people that this person is protected by me, is under my jiwar. And then nobody can touch them. They do it even with the wap, with animals, insects. That's the level of the life. So that you will understand the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in bringing those people into consciousness and thinking properly in the way they led the nation to success. Nobody was able to believe amongst those kuffar that these are the Arabs who are known to be living a life of animals. But now they are the most smartest people that led the world to success. Why? Because they follow the guidance sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of everyone. So this exists, al-jiwar. You know, a person can just say, this person is my jiwar. I protect, is under my protection, and nobody is allowed to touch. You get an idea? Even during the battle, when somebody says, when a kafir, an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get inside the house of somebody and that person says, you are under my jiwar. Nobody can touch that person. Yeah? So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِمَّةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ wahida. The ذِمَّة of مُسْلِمِينَ wahida. Meaning whatever a Muslim agreed upon, we are all united in that ذِمَّة, in that ahd. Okay? We have the unity in that regard. I cannot say, no, this is an agreement between Mazin and John. No, I cannot say that. If Mazin agrees, that's when we all agree. If I come back and spark him, why did you sign that agreement? But we cannot destroy that agreement. We have to go with it. So he says, ذِمَّةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَدْنَاهُمْ يَسْعَى بِهَا أَدْنَاهُمْ ذِمَّةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَاحِدَ يَسْعَى بِهَا أَدْنَاهُمْ. The lowest person amongst them, if you have somebody who is very insignificant in the community, if he accepts, you know, if he accepts, then everyone has to agree. We cannot disappoint a Muslim. Although the scholars said this is now restricted to the permission of the Imam, because it's going to be chaotic, because some people might be, you know, subhanAllah, in a situation whereby they cannot receive forgiveness. But any normal person can just come and say, we protect them. And that's why many scholars said it is based on the permission of the Imam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died before death, he told the Muslimin that the dhimma is one, you know, they have this unity, they all agree, whatever is agreed upon by one of them, it should be accepted by all of them. And he broke also a system which was rampant amongst the Arabs, that a sister cannot say anything in this regard. Not even in this regard, in anything. They have no say. They treat as properties, you know. They cannot talk. They cannot give their opinion, you know. Many things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed in that community, in the Ummah. And that's the reason why they got annoyed with him so much. Yeah, because he empowered everyone. Right have been given to every single person in the community. And nobody should be oppressed. And respect is for everyone. respect the rich, and we respect the poor. In the same way, your money, your wealth, your position is not nothing in the eyes of the authority and Islam. What matters is your heart. You're male, you're female. Allah says, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." Yeah, the best one in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fears Allah. So that's why it's a useless talk for people to sit down on who is the best in the eyes of Allah, who is this and that. No, Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." In both you have good, you have bad. Yeah, in both you have good, you have bad. So in the past, they don't have this. You know, to empower the side of the sisters, this is inappropriate. Yeah. See them as properties, but the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam destroyed this. So that's why when those two enemies went to the house of Hani, and Hani said, "They are under my protection." Ali bin Abi Talib said, "No, these ones cannot be protected. They're really bad. They can't be protected." So Hani said, "No, they're under my protection." SubhanAllah. Now Islam comes, you know, I can also talk, you know. That's technically, indirectly what she is telling him. We do have a right also, not only you, to protect whoever we want to protect. So she told him, "They're protected by me." And Ali bin Abi Talib said, "No, she cannot be, they cannot be protected." So, and this Hani, she is bint Abi Talib, right? Hani bint Abi Talib. And so she said to him, "No, you can't touch them. Let's go and ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So they went, they asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is my case." And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at her and said, "Qad ajarna man ajarti ya Hani." He said, "The one that is protected by you is also protected by us. Whoever you protect, we also accept that one." So Ali bin Abi Talib lost the debate between him and her. So when it comes to signing an agreement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dhimmatu al-muslimin wahida wa yas'a bi dhimmatihim adnahu wa hum yaduna ala man siwahu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'u." That's the beginning of the hadith. It says, "Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'u." The blood of the believers are equal. Nobody is better than the other one. You're from Arabs, you're from Europeans, Africans, Asians. What else I miss? Majus. So from whatever dimension you are coming, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sharia sees you equal to the other Muslims. That's how it should be done. We should remove the borders from our heart. Yeah, leave it with the politics. It exists with the politics. We should remove it from our heart. And it's subhanAllah. And I guess everyone understands that, yes, we're speaking the truth when we say that it is not like that in the Muslims' territories. Yeah. You see your Muslim brother who is a Muslim, but just because he is not having the citizenship, you will take him, put him in the lower level. Even the way you deal with him. Let the government deal with him in the way they want to deal. But you as his brother, why can't you deal with him as your Muslim brother without having any barrier? With full respect. I've never come across a country that is like this. Yeah. You'll be looked at as somebody who is the second class, if not the third class or no class at all. And simply because you are not having the same nationality. Yeah. But in Islam, this doesn't exist. And this is what makes the enemy be happy with our division. You know? So before, we're not like that. Yeah, that's why they don't want this unity to come. There's the unity of the Khilafah. Yeah. And also they succeeded because we are already divided. We always call Khilafah, Khilafah. Wherever you go, Khilafah, Khilafah. But are we seeking the path of the Khilafah or not? Not at all. That's why we will remain 1,000 years still Khilafah is just in our tongue. Yeah. We have to let it exist first. What are the conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, set up for the khilafah to be given back to us? Two conditions. You know, you fail a lot, so... وعد الله الذين آمنوا صالحة لا يستخلفنهم في الأرض الذين من قبل ولا يمكن لهم بنص ولا يمكن لهم. So what are the conditions? يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. In that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he promise. He says, wa'ada, Allah promise. He will take, he will bring back the khilafah for us. Even if it is missing, Allah promised to bring it back. But he says, two conditions you have to do. يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يَشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْهَا. Worship me without associating partner with me. It's as simple as this. So a comment to tawheed is the way and the only way to the khilafah. Rasikha, the one that can, subhanAllah, sustain and become stable, you know, for ages or forever. Yeah, because whatever you build upon tawheed, if you don't change that tawheed, wallahi, will never fail. If you don't change the tawheed, it will not fail. Yeah. So that's the most important thing we should promote these days, aqidah. Right? Aqidah. It's really, really important. It promotes the aqidah in the Muslim, especially the younger ones. Right? Especially the younger ones. Aqidah should be given the priority. Without aqidah, you can't do anything. Those people, they manage to win because they are building everything they're doing on aqidah. In Mecca, in the first Ahad, Al-Ahad al-Makki, what was the focus? Aqid. Tell me, which details of fiqh was given in Mecca? Which details of fiqh are given in Mecca? None. Yeah, none. If you find it, it's just a few things. The Salah was not being mentioned. You know, many things were not mentioned. Why? Because the Muslims are not ready to accommodate heavy details. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them what they need at that moment, which is to establish the aqidah in their heart. SubhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did an excellent job. Good idea? That's why Hiraql, the emperor of Rome, when he asked Abu Sufyan this nice and excellent question, he says, أيرتد أحد منهم سخطة لدينه بعد أن يدخل فيه. You remember those series of questions he was asking him, right? One of these questions, he says, أيرتد أحد منهم سخطة لدينه بعد أن يدخل فيه. Was there any case whereby one of them changed his religion after entering Islam? He said, no. There was no case. Abu Sufyan was a kafir at that time before he accepted Islam. He couldn't lie because he promised to speak the truth. And he was afraid of also his people narrating lies, you know, about him. He said, I know if I lie, they will not tell Hilakul, but they will talk behind after they go back to Mecca. He said, I don't want this. Somebody to go and narrate to the people that I was lying. And this is even kafir also. He says, I can lie, and I know they will not tell Hiraql because we share the same interests with them, but they will talk back home when they go back. So he said, no, there was no case of somebody who changed his religion after becoming a Muslim. And guess what Hiraql said? Because whatever he said, Hiraql has a comment. Very beautiful, nice comment. The comment for this, he says, فَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانُ حين تخالط بشاشته القلوب. He says, لا يتركه أحد. He says, and this is Iman actually. He was telling Abu Sufyan. He said, this is Iman. When it is the sweetness of Iman is mixed with the heart, nobody will be able to reject it. Yeah. That's why a person will be standing in the presence of another person, he cut him into pieces. And the only thing he wants is to see him changing his religion, but he cannot do. It's Iman. Yeah. So in Mecca, the focus was Iman, because this is the beginning. When Khabbab ibn al-Arat came to the Prophet, مستند الى الكعبه. He came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he was resting, leaning towards the Kaaba. So Khabbab said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ya Rasulullah, life is really tough. Really tough. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for us. Because they used to burn this man. He used to put him on a very hot sand. You know, when he showed Umar, his back was burnt completely. Nobody knows, you know, except a few. Umar did not know about that. Yeah. And so when he talked about Bilal, Khabbab says, because they are all together, he and Bilal and the rest of the week, people are suffering together. So he said, people always talk about Bilal, as if there is nobody who suffered also except Bilal. So Umar told him, what do you mean? Everyone witnessed what Bilal has been going through, you know. What do you mean? So he opened his back, and they see the skin. He was affected badly. They were shocked. So there was a time this man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah, why didn't you make dua for us? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got very angry with him. He says, you are impatient. You are hasty. He says, wallahi, you just need to be patient. Because people before you, they used to put a saw on top of their head and they would cut them into two pieces. And they will never change their religion. They kill them. They do whatever they want, but they will not change their religion. And he says, this deed is going to succeed, whether they like it or they don't like it. He says, we will reach a time when the peace is going to take place. A woman can travel from this place to another place. And she's not afraid of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's really a big example for them, because this cannot happen, you know, in their brain. They cannot understand this. You know. Is it possible? Yeah, he told them, yeah, we're going to reach a time when the peace is going to be everywhere. And you will see this happening. A person will not be afraid of anyone to come and attack his sheep except the wolf. Except the wolf. So the Prophet said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. So the point is, Iman is supposed to be first. I'm just bringing these facts of history to all of us so that you will know that the most important thing in this time of ours, wallahi, is Iman and Aqeedah. If Aqeedah is missing, you will be able to do everything that is wrong. You see all of these people who are favoring other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their jobs, in their approaches, all of these are taking place because the aqidah is weak in the heart. The aqidah is weak in the heart. If the aqidah is quite strong, you know, a person will be very straightforward and also strong in his activities and deeds. The last story I want to just highlight is the story of Hubayb. You remember Hubayb, right? Hubayb, they kill him together with Asim. You know, Asim is the one that prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to let kafir touch his body. That's how much they hate the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, Asim participated in killing, you know, some of the top in the Quraysh. And one of the sisters, either Hind or one of them, she said, whoever can bring the head of Asim, she promised to remove everything that is inside that head, you know, and fill it with gold for him. She said, if he can bring the head of this man, because he killed some of her relatives, you know. So she said, anyone who can do this, she promised to take the head and remove anything that is inside, you know, and just leave the skeleton and fill it with gold for him. So those enemies are rushing to see this opportunity. Until the time Asim happened to be in a group sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, subhanallah, enemies attract them and they kill, including Asim. Asim refused to submit. Hubayb submitted together with some people, two of them actually. One of them right after he comes down, they betrayed. You know, they broke their promise. He says, this is the first breaking of the promise. So he resists. They killed him. So Hubayb left. Asim was killed instantly. And it's subhanallah. You remember his dua? He says, Ya Allah, do this for me. I don't want a kafir to touch my body. So now he is killed. And you know the promise. People are rushing because they know that Asim is killed. So now everyone who can go and cut off the head and bring it to that sister, she will fill it with gold for him. Well, they went, and subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arsal, this story is in Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent something like a dabur. A dabur, dabur is a dhukur al-nahal. Hornets. Those ones are harsher than the normal bee. Yeah. Allah sent them in thousands, maybe in millions. They cover him. You know, they covered him completely. SubhanAllah. According to some stories, after a while, they left. And the body also was missing. The earth took him. Some said it was taken by the side. Whatever happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept any for him that which he was looking for. They wanted to go and touch him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent those army. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. Nobody was able to come closer to him. The one that I was intending was Hudayb. They put him in a place. They just want him to regret and also change his religion, but he doesn't want. They don't give him food. The sister said she used to see him eating fresh grapes or tamar. At the time, you don't find them in any place in the Arabian Peninsula. Who is giving him? Rabbul Alam. Because they don't give him. And nobody was having access to that house to come and feed him. That he is getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the need. When the time for him to be killed arrived, they told him, what do you want us to do before we kill him? We're going to kill, but what do you want? He said, I want you to give me a chance to pray 2 rakat. They said, no problem. He prayed 2 rakat as much as he can. Very nice and beautiful rakat. And then he looked at them. He said, wallahi, if not because of my fear that you guys will say that I'm afraid of death, that's why I'm prolonging the rakat. He said, I will do better than this. They said, still, we're going to kill. SubhanAllah, one of the companions witnessed this moment. Whenever the day happened, you know, he used to faint whenever he remembers that. Because he says, I remember that there was no place in his body except that it's cut in that. And SubhanAllah, what makes it interesting is that, you see, they're cutting him, this companion of the Prophet who witnessed that, he said, there was no place you can see in his body except that they cut also. That's how they were cutting. And you know, while they're cutting him, what was he saying? He was saying, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ شَكٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَصْرَحِ. He says, I don't care. As long as I die in Islam, he says, I don't care. Because I know whatever a part of my body that is going to reach the ground is going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam succeeded in putting the aqidah in the heart. No matter how much the enemies try to, you know, convince them to change, no. So that's the reason why I said, that's the only thing that can work with us also nowadays, to have this strong aqidah. It is the only protection we have in Allah. If you belittle it, you are going to neglect everything. You cannot build without having a base. And that base has to be stronger than what you put in on top of it. Otherwise, it will not carry it. If your aqidah is hush, trust me, wherever you go, it will be easy for the enemy to take you alongside with them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'uhum. So I was talking about these borders. We have to remove them from our heart and see your brother as your Muslim brother. Wherever this person is, if he got affected by anything, you should react, you know, in support to that person with everything you can do. Get an idea? The enemies, they realize this, so they try to kill this one. I remember one of them said, he was describing one of the universities, he says, this is the enemy number one against us. SubhanAllah. I still remember this statement. He said, this is the enemy number one against us. He said, because this is the only place that produces a Muslim who is willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of preservation of the deen. Were they right? Yes. Because the vast majority of those people who contributed to preserving the deen of the Muslims, wherever they are, you see them coming from those institutions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and help us to revive this attitude whereby we remove the barrier from our heart. We see Muslims as Muslims, as our brothers and part of us, which we cannot live without them. So unfortunately, I have to stop here, inshallah. In the next class, we move to the next hadith. So let's have some questions and answers.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. You said that we have been calling for the Khilafah for 1,000 years. So is the Abbasid Caliphate illegitimate? Or because to my understanding, the Caliphate was dissolved 100 years ago and not 1,000 years ago. So is everything after the...
Because it wasn't built upon a strong pillars. That's why in terms of doing good and being more organized, the Umayyad more than Abbasid. You have so many young people who are appointed as the leader of the Muslims, but behind, the true leaders are there, the real leaders are there, others. So they use the family members of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to reach their goals. And so many clashes and so many things in the Muslim territories. So it wasn't established upon strong, you know, pillars. That's why it did not last in the way that Banu Umayyah lasted. Yeah, they have corruption. They have so many things. That's the reason why they go. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn Khaldun has a very nice statement concerning the zawal of the Ummah, the causes of the failure of the nations. Why do they fail? And I can summarize it. Yes, going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not being serious of the deen is the main reason why civilization fails in every place. Yeah. Spain, we have been doing well in Spain. And I don't know, I've never been to that place and I don't think I will, but as if this have never been ruled by Muslims. Yeah. India, many other places, we lost. Why did we lose? Because we were not those who we were before. There is a promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we maintain our behavior, which is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the situation in the way it is. It will always be improved. Because we have what to share with others, they don't have. Trust me, we will get the support of some of the enemies, and some of the kuffar, you know, supporting our system because they know if the issue is to be by their own leaders, they will not have a good and happy life. In our place, they come. They only have to pay the jizya. They live under our protection, fully protected. Nobody is allowed to harm them because of their religion. None. Sharia, the Muslim leaders will step in and punish whoever is threatening them. So they have good life, you know, with us. And what do we take from them? Jizya, once in a year, one dinar, which is nothing. In their own territories, almost everything is taken. The taxes are so heavy, no incentive at all. It's like you're doing business for somebody. Yeah, that's why they kept on coming to our own place. They don't want to go to their own places. They know what is there. So what I'm trying to say is, when we change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let us deal with the matter by ourselves. And we can't. Yeah, we cannot, because in every age, up to date, the preparations of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much and way stronger than what we have. Yeah, look at the Muslim countries, wherever they are, with this exception of Pakistan. Which country has nuclear that can threaten this? None. All the kuffar almost has. Either munafiq or the person who comes and says, yes, I have. Others, and it could be swept within the blink of an eye. And also add to that, we are so weak in terms of preparation, but at the same time also we are making our iman weaker, trying to look like those guys. The only strength and the power we have is the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the little amount of preparation we have, He protect us. But that one also is gone now, except a little. Good idea. So that's the reason why I said that it's our job to spread this issue of the aqidah amongst the Muslims. I cannot change everyone, but change myself, change my family, change my friends. You know, that's how the change comes. Slowly, 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 until everyone has the iznillah azul, and the top also is going to change. The scholar said, Kama takunu yuwalla alaykum. Your leaders are none other than the reflection of your behavior and your attitude. You change, they will change also.
Second question. You said that there's a university that the enemies of Islam hate. What university is that?
I will mention that. I was afraid somebody is going to ask me. And then he did not disappoint me.
Yeah. So in today's time, for example, Muslim countries, when migrants come in, like you said, they have less right than the people who are the origins of the country. So is this something was faced back then in the time of the Prophet?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Actually, politically, according to the Siyasa Sharia, when you study, a Muslim, wherever he go, if this land belongs to the Muslim, this is his place. No discrimination between him and those who are living in the place. Not a single, any single way. Wherever he goes, this is his place. So in Siyasa Sharia, the focus is on righteous and the wrongdoers. The government should focus and eliminate the bad ones and take them out of the place. They don't deserve to be with us. But the righteous people, they should be promoted and helped and supported, because their existence is none other than bringing good to the community. Iwallah. But unfortunately, in many, many, many places, a wrongdoer, a bad person, you know, very evil person, might be, you know, more stable than you. You get into trouble, and those ones, they don't get into trouble. Unfortunately, this is the status of the Muslims wherever you go. So we just have to deal with the reality. But if you look into the books of Siyasa Sharia, Muslims, wherever they go, this is their own territory. So Allah says, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُرِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِلُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِ الصَّالِحُونَ. It does. Every place that you see, the earth completely, from the beginning until then, is owned by the Muslims. Every place. Yeah. Allah gave it to somebody who accepted him. Yeah. Sure. Then, Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. One question. Sheikh, Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahsan Allahu ilayka fi dunya wal akhirah. Is there idda for the sister who sought khul' but has not lived with her husband for the past 2 months? Is there idda for the sister?
Is a controversial matter amongst the scholars concerning the. Mazin, if you don't switch off your mic, I'm talking to myself. Okay, that's it. So it's a controversial matter among the scholars, the Malikis and people like Sheikh Islam bin Taymiyyah. They see khul as fasq. If you take it as fasq, not talaq, then the idda is just one menses. If she has one menses, she sees that, then khalas. There is no connection between her and the husband anymore. She can just go on and marry. However, many scholars said, no, it is not fasq, it is talaq. So the one who seizes at talaq, then she has to go to the through the main, the whole process of three menses. You get idea. Yeah. So it's based on what I personally incline to the fasq more than the talaq. It's the one that could be supported with the adilla, even the nature of the khul, because she's disconnecting herself with him. If you call it talaq, then he can bring her back then. And that's destroyed the whole thing, the whole concept of khulu. Because if she paid him that mahar, he shouldn't have any authority over her. No. Yeah. So that's the opinion of Sheikh Muslim bin Taymiyyah, that it is fasq, not. But at the same time, also, a person should be on the safe side. It's just 3 months. She can just wait until those 3 months, you know, And then marry whoever she wants to marry. Get a combination of both opinion, but with the exception of the pact, the part that he can return her back. So she waits for the 3 months, and he doesn't have a right to bring her back. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته